Greater things are yet to come. In September of 2002, the year that Laura and I and the kids moved to Toronto and to the Donway Church, or the year before actually, Laura and I and our two kids had the wonderful pleasure of traveling with our good friends, the Edies. Our destination was a time at Kissimmee, Florida, within a very short jaunt to or drive to Disneyland. I have to tell you that that trip is perhaps my favorite vacation of all time. I loved it. The facilities where we were staying were outstanding. The weather was great. It wasn't too hot. It wasn't too cold, being September. The resorts and the places that we visited were not overly crowded because most kids have gone back to school. But I must admit that the true highlight, of course, of the trip was going to Disney's theme parks. It was a lot of fun. We went to three of those parks, including one of the water parks. There was lots of laughter among all of us and a lot of riding on very thrilling rides. One of the rides that I found particularly scary, but also fascinating, was at Disney's Hollywood Studios Park. It was called, I think, the Rock and Roll Coaster. And it was based on the idea that when you were on the ride, you were in a limousine going with the rock band Aerosmith as they went on tour. Interestingly enough, the band announced this week that they're going on their farewell tour. Did you see that in the paper or here on the radio? This ride was very loud with rock and roll music. It was fast, but it was great fun. I was drawn to the ride because, well, I grew up in the Aerosmith era of popular music. I'm only a little bit familiar with their music. I never actually got into their music or bought any of their albums. Record albums, for you youngsters out there are what we now call downloads in iTunes. The popularity of the band and Steven Tyler, their lead vocalist, seems unabated with time. Tyler is also perhaps best known for his screaming vocals, his time on American Idol, and his offstage antics in the 70s and 80s with drugs and alcohol. It just so happens that I was reading a fascinating collection of anecdotes from all kinds of sources when I ran into one on the history of one of Aerosmith's most famous songs, Walk This Way. The true story of this song is that Aerosmith guitarist Joe Perry and bassist Tom Hamilton were exhausted from rehearsing a new musical piece, the piece they were working on. And they decided they were needed to take a little break, so they sat down and they watched the movie Young Frankenstein. Hamilton reports his experience watching the movie. There's that part in the movie where Igor says, walk this way. And the other guy walks the very same way as Igor walks, with the hump and everything. We thought it was the funniest thing we'd ever seen. After the movie, we told singer Steven Tyler that the name of the new song had to be Walk This Way. Their story to Steven inspired him. He immediately rushed out of the recording studio and actually scribbled the lyrics on the wall of the recording studio in the stairwell. And the band recorded that song right then and there. I mentioned that story to you because of a question that's raised in the song's title. Have you ever considered how important it is to know the way? How we travel to a destination is really irrelevant as long as we know which direction we are going. Like in the funny movie Young Frankenstein, we can just limp along with a hump on our back, or we can dance along light on our feet. It doesn't really matter as long as we know what our destination is. Knowing the way clears up a lot of confusion and a lot of struggle. it does make the journey more pleasurable. Essentially, that's what Jesus is saying to us in our passage today. When he says to the disciples, don't be troubled, he's really saying, don't be confused. Don't be misled. The destination for Jesus' disciples, which include you and I, is very, very clear. There are many rooms in my Father's house, and I'm going to prepare a place for you. The Father's house of many rooms is the destination for our life's journey. The Father's house is where the road for Jesus' followers, ends. Crawl, limp, dance, run, it doesn't matter, as long as you're heading in the right way. Jesus is saying the same thing as Igor did in Young Frankenstein and the band Aerosmith sang about, walk this way. Jesus is saying, follow me. You know where I'm going and how to get there. Well, hold on a minute. Maybe we really don't. The Apostle Thomas replies to Jesus' words about knowing the direction. No, we don't know, Lord. We haven't any idea where you're going, so how can we know the way? How many times in our lives have we expressed the same sentiment? We have no idea where you are going, Lord. Or we might express it in other ways, like, what are you doing in my life, Lord? Or why is this happening to me? But the point's the same. Eugene Peterson, a noted author and theologian, wrote something that really spoke to me about this particular passage. In reflecting on Jesus' famous words, I am the way, the truth, and the life, Peterson notes that we often just breeze past the word way and go right for the truth. Peterson writes, the Jesus way is wedded to the Jesus truth that brings out the Jesus life. We cannot proclaim Jesus truth, then do whatever we want in our old way of life. Nor can we follow the Jesus way without speaking the Jesus truth. I never caught that fact before. Maybe because of how obvious it is, but notice what comes first in Jesus' words. Way. The literal translation of that word way is actually the word for road or path. Jesus is saying, I am your path. More accurately, he is saying, I am the correct path. Jesus' point is that before you can have any truth at all, you got to be going the right direction. Implied in this statement is a life that is focused on its God-given purpose. A purpose that is revealed over time as we walk the road, as we travel along with him. However, we're an impatient lot, aren't we? We want to know every little detail, every little obstacle that is going to be in front of us when we set out. I don't know if you're aware or not, but the CAA, the Canadian Automobile Association, I don't think they do it anymore, but they used to have for its members a very special service. If you were taking a trip in North America, they can, if they get enough notice, prepare what is called a triptych. Do you remember those things? It's a page by page flip book map. It indicates the routes that you should take. It tells you where major construction is happening, and it helps you avoid places where you might get slowed down. Having used one to go on that previously mentioned Florida trip, I found it very useful and even fun as we turned the pages on our way down south. Oh, how we wish Jesus gave each one of us our own personal triptych. You know, something you could open up every day and see the route marked clearly and the troubles that were lying ahead, and it would be great to have such a thing. But it's not going to happen. Jesus calls us instead to simply walk his road and trust him in the journey. You cannot get to the Jesus truth unless you're on the Jesus road. And only on the Jesus road will you find the Jesus life. You know, there's an old proverb that states you cannot understand a person unless you walk a mile in their shoes. Have you heard that before? Well, you cannot understand Jesus at all unless you're walking in his way. To truly understand the Jesus truth, you've got to walk its way. We must experience the cost of discipleship. We must, with his help, overcome temptation. We must know the depth and the power of agape love and sacrifice. That's exactly what John Bunyan, I talk about him a lot, don't I, was trying to communicate with us in his monumental work, The Pilgrim's Progress. A pilgrim who follows Christ is someone who's always on the move, always growing, always learning. It is never enough to claim you know the truth of Christ. We have to also walk the road. As you can now understand, it's very hard for people to accept the truth from those who do not walk the way. The truth of Jesus is easily dismissed by other people if our lives do not reflect that we're on the journey. If we want to see the Father, we gotta walk with the Son. If we want to do great things, even greater things than Jesus, we gotta get on the road. Only when we fully accept that fact, that our journey with Jesus is not over until we get to the Father's house, will we fully experience life and know the truth that shall truly set us free. Until we are in the Father's house, our work, our journey is never finished. I don't know how many of you have ever traveled, maybe many of you, with small children. And what do small children do on a long journey? They irritate us from the back seat asking what? Are we there yet? Actually, there's a movie of that title. It's very funny. Well, I'm here to tell you that in your Christian walk, you are not there yet. Nor will you ever be until you take your room in the Father's house. Now, I am sure that one of our chief concerns about embracing the way of Christ is knowing that along that way, we're going to face challenges. John Bunyan describes the challenges on our pilgrimage in very creative, very descriptive ways. Bunyan talks at length about traps and distractions that keep us from reaching our true destination. But you know what? We don't need Bunyan to tell us what life is like. We know from our own experience that there are and will be times when we just don't know what's around the next corner. You and I may feel like the passengers on a airliner coming across the Atlantic Ocean. The pilot comes on and says, "Well, passengers, I've got good news and bad news. Which would you like first?" And the passengers voted, and the majority wanted the bad news first. And so the pilot said, "The bad news is we're lost." As you can imagine, there was a significant hush that fell over the passengers. And then finally the pilot said, "The good news is we're ahead of schedule." The good news for the modern church is that it's very busy. It's busy promoting and defending the faith. Defending the truth. The bad news is that quite often the church is lost. It has lost sight of its destination. It's reluctant to walk the road of Christ. In other words, we are lost, but we're making really good time. Frankly, I'll be honest, we would rather proclaim the truth than live the truth. But talk is cheap. That's what we say. How often have we as individuals or even as a fellowship stopped our striving and simply asked the question, which way did he go? Which way did Jesus go? The bad news maybe is that we've stopped our journey at some point, but the good news is we can get going again. We may not know every detail of our journey, but there's a couple of things that we can know. First, we know where we're going. We know the destination. It is our Father's house. The second thing we know is what steps we need to take to get moving again. We've seen the example. Christ has given us the example. He's shown us how to live and be his people. To get back on track, we should start with the important matters of Jesus' example. Namely, let our first steps be first and foremost acts of love and care and generosity. When we do not have the fullest picture of the next few days, weeks, or months of our journey, we should focus on the steps that are right in front of us. Let me ask, or let us ask together, who can I show love to today? Who needs encouragement today? Who needs an expression of generosity to get through a rough patch in their lives? I firmly believe that as we take these steps, Christ will reveal more and more of the path for us. And the further we travel along the way, the more truth we learn and the more life we experience. Maybe the main reason we don't feel or experience very much of the abundant life is because we try to shorten the process, you and I. We think, well, if I know the truth, that's enough to gain life. But that's not what Jesus is saying here. He says to all of us that he's the way, the truth, and the life. If you want life, you must know the truth. And if you want the truth, you've got to travel the way. There's no shortcut. To mature us into the people Christ wants us to be, it takes obedience to the call to walk his way. You know, one of the most unsettling things that can happen, at least to me personally, is driving along a road or a highway and suddenly becoming anxious to know if I'm on the right road. Have you ever had that experience? It's especially disconcerting when it happens at night. Mm-hmm. So how do I find out which road I'm on? Well, I look for signs. I look for road markers. A sign that tells me, hey, this is Highway 24 or this is the Queensway, for example. So if I want to be sure I'm on Jesus' way or road, how can I tell? What are the signs to look for? Some signs I've already mentioned, like those related to love and generosity, but there are others. In considering this, I have thought that maybe the surest sign of whether we are on the right road or not, and moving in the right direction, comes from the experiences we have along the way. When was the last time we were challenged to truly grow in our faith? When was the last time I truly sacrificed for the good of another person? When I'm around, do I build people up or do I drain their energy and vitality? Do people respond positively to my presence or do they regret that they even know me? Do people know which road I'm on? And is it the same one that I profess to be on? Do I live like a person who knows where I'm going? Namely, to my Father's house. Like those people on the airplane, I may be making a good time, but am I going anywhere? If we truly want the abundant life that Jesus offers us, we must ask repeatedly, which way did he go? Because only when we discover where he is going can we truly follow him and discover the truth and experience his life.